And now it's time for the Called to Cultivate podcast, the podcast that understands your call to educate, elevate, and enrich the lives of others. Please welcome your podcast host, Regina Coley.
All right. Welcome to the Called to Cultivate podcast with Regina Coley, and where I'm helping you cultivate your best business and your best life. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Heather Monahan. Heather, let me tell you all about Heather. Heather is a best-selling author, keynote speaker with the Harry Walker Agency, entrepreneur, and founder of Boss in Heels. Having successfully climbed the corporate ladder for nearly 20 years, Heather Monahan is one of the few women to break the glass ceiling and claim her spot in the C-suite. As a chief revenue officer in media, Heather Monahan is a glass ceiling award winner, named one of the most influential women in radio in 2017, and Thrive Global named her a limit-breaking female founder in 2018. Heather's new book, Confidence Creator, shot to number one on Amazon's business biographies and business motivation list the first week it debuted on Amazon. Heather is a confidence expert and is currently working with Fortune 500 companies and professional sports to develop confidence in the workplace and on the court. She's also a member of Florida International University Advisory Council to further serve as a mentor and leader in the South Florida community. Heather and her son Dylan reside in Miami. It is a pleasure to have you here today, Heather. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So you guys know I really love talks about motivational tools, anything that's inspiration. I think that the world throws so much at us that we can never have enough motivational tools in our arsenal. So I'm so excited today to talk to you more about what you do as a confidence expert and tell us a little bit more about your new book, Confidence Creator.
It's been crazy. I have a really successful long track record in corporate America where I was a chief revenue officer in media. I was a sales leader, and essentially I started out as a salesperson. I had grown up really poor. My mom was a single mother, four kids, and at times we got by in food stamps, and my childhood was definitely not a fond memory of mine. So one thing that I was really clear about from a young age was I wanted to make money, and I made a big mistake. I just focused on money. And that's how I ended up fired when I was 43 years old, is when you don't chase your passions in life and you chase a paycheck, you're never really going to feel fulfilled. You're never really going to be happy at work every day. You're just going to be showing up for money, which feels hollow after a while. For me, it was about filling that void that I wanted to make sure I didn't have to be on food stamps, my son didn't have to be, and I really wanted that money. So I worked really hard in sales. I did really well. I got into the leadership track in corporate America. I did really well there. And along the way, I learned so much about business, but not much about myself. And it really took getting to probably around the time I'm 44 now, I was 40 when this shift started happening for me, when I started doing a lot of charity work, and I started realizing, wow, there's a lot more out there than what I'm doing. And a couple of great mentors in my life opened my eyes to that as well. They said, you know, you're bigger than what you're doing, and I see you selling yourself short. And I was shocked because I said, I've got this huge job and I'm responsible for hundreds of millions of dollars and thousands of employees. How can you say that to me? Because I was really just seeing that one thing every day. I wasn't looking at it from their perspective. So having these great mentors really opened my eyes, and it was the right time. And I began to decide to start my own personal brand, which is where I came up with the hashtag then, Boss in Heels. That's now my company name. And it's funny to piece all these things together, you know, going back, you know, through years ago. This is 4 years ago. So that was the time I decided to launch the personal brand. And the goal was for a way for me to fulfill that need to want to help others that were in the situation I used to be in. I wanted to teach that younger girl or that person that just didn't know, here's how you get ahead in corporate America. It's not really hard. I didn't know how to do it. So I hit so many landmines along the way. I did things wrong. It took me a lot longer than what I would have been able to do if I had this blueprint. So that was the goal initially back when I was 40, was I created this brand and I just gave free information around how to get ahead at work and in life and how to live your best life, make a lot of money. And that's really where it originated. And it sort of evolved into the feedback I would get from people allowed me to create this evolution around my personal brand to start leaning into more who I really was. And at that time, things got very contentious at work. And the CFO of the company I worked for really disliked me. And she began to tap our general counsel and take legal action against me, saying that what I was doing was really detracting from business. And it became this really pinnacle time in my life to say, do I want to back down again like I always have? Because in my life, when the man, or in this case, the woman, you know, whoever had a hierarchy over you would tell me, don't do this, I would back down to secure my income and remain in my safe space. And for the first time, I said, no, if you're going to take me on, take me on. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing something positive. It's in a private space. I'll put whatever disclaimers you want that I'm not affiliated with the company in my private life, but I'm not doing something unethical or hurtful. And that began a really awful 2-year run for me where I started losing my hair. I threw my back out. I mean, everything in the universe was telling me I had to get out of this situation. It became really hostile almost. And I was just being bullied every day at work for launching this personal brand and trying to shine my light in a different way. And in my opinion, give back something that I should have been doing for years, but I just never thought to do. So it was a really, it was a difficult, tumultuous struggle. And in the end, I did throw my back out. I ended up laid up for a couple of months and really, you know, hurting. But ultimately, the CFO got promoted to CEO. Her father became ill and she got that nod. And it wasn't much more than a month later that she called me in to fire me. And that was really the catalyst for me to say, okay, this is my opportunity to either go back to what I've always done, take another safe job in corporate America, or take the biggest risk of my life. And back then it was try to start my own company, you know, try to write a book. But now it's, you know, start my own company, write my first book, and take this new path, which was really, really scary. And that's kind of where the whole thing began.
Well, I'm just impressed. I'm impressed, but I'm also not shocked because you talked about how you had this one person who was just out to find any little thing that they could to throw you under the bus.
Right.
Because here you are working and finding out what your passion is. You're working diligently to build a brand, which is not easy. And you weren't taking away from any other thing that was going on with this company, but you have people that are like that. It's like, why do you have to go above and beyond? Like, they kind of feel like you're taking away from me because you're doing something more amazing with your life.
Exactly.
The space that we live in, I'm always shocked. Like, why do people do that to each other? What is the purpose behind it? So I know in your book, you refer to this type of person as a villain. And I always call them like, that's just the hater. That's the hater.
Right.
Who always wants to find something to say. How have you found or identified, how do you overcome dealing with people like that?
So for a long time, I would play small because when I would play small, she would leave me alone. She would back off. And that is not the advice I would give anyone. It was because I felt afraid. I was afraid of difficulty at work. I was afraid of losing my paycheck. I was afraid of upsetting my comfort zone. I see that clearly now. I didn't back then. I was just scared. And someone in a position higher than me was treating me terribly, and I wanted that to go away. So I thought, okay, here's a solution. I can try to get her to like me. I can try to make her feel better. I can try. And I did. I tried. And that went on for a long time. And I took away from who I was to try to make her feel better. And in the end, that was chipping away at my confidence. So the more I would do that, the worse I would feel about myself, the less of who I really am would show. So I wouldn't perform at a level I had the potential of. So then I'd feel bad. It was like a vicious cycle. The more you try to contract and be small, the worse you do, the less, you know, successful you are, the less you feel like you've powerful, strong, wonderful. And so it started this, wow, I tried to make her feel better and it succeeded. However, I don't feel great. I feel not so great and I'm not doing so well. So it was just this really complicated time. What I've learned since then, I did make the difficult decision at one point, as I said, to shine my light regardless how it affected her, because I decided this isn't my problem any longer. That's about you, not about me. And I never had that direct of a conversation with her. However, it got to a point where she was ignoring me in meetings. She became the interim CEO for a few months. Well, her dad became very ill, which was very sad. I had worked for him for 14 years. And she was bothersome to me, but now she was I directly reported to her. That's a whole, and I'm sure everyone who listens to this understands the complexity when, you know, they can say that you're making disparaging comments because you don't agree with them, or, you know, they can make it very difficult on you in corporate America if someone doesn't like you and you report to them. I was aware of that. I had seen the games that had gone on. So I thought, I'm going to be highly professional. I won't ever be late. I'll never miss a deadline. That stuff was fine for me. I was really good at my job. But I thought, I can't let this lady ignore me anymore. I mean, this is embarrassing. And it was chipping away at my confidence and building hers up when she would do it. And I would see others look at me saying in their minds, oh my, you know, she acts like you're not even here. So finally, I practice in the mirror. I put on my best outfit. I wear my power color, which is red, when I'm really nervous and I want to channel my inner Wonder Woman. I got ready. You know, I did my hair, my makeup. I made sure my shoes were on point. I really put in the effort so I could feel my best. I listen to my playlist that I listen to when I'm nervous. I have the same playlist I use all the time. And I suggest that to everyone, because your mind literally gets back into the routine, which for me, it's a routine that is, oh boy, I'm about to go into something and kill it. This is going to go amazing. And as soon as I start hearing that music, and it's whatever you like, for me, it's Kanye. For me, it's Drake. I have this killer hip hop playlist that I love, and it just says I'm about to crush it. I work out to it as well. So it's like it represents something so strong to me that I can feel it. And once I'm in that mindset, no one and nothing will get in my way. So I got in that mindset on the way there. Another trick is to use scent. Some people really associate well with scent. I use lavender. If I really get nervous, I use that. And then I walked into the meeting. And when she went around and said hello to everyone and passed me by, I stood up and I said, hi, excuse me, I'm over here. You must have missed me. Good morning. It's great to see you. And, you know, I always put the caveat out there. She fired me in the end. So I don't know that everyone wants to use that technique. However, I made my point. I will not be ignored. And in that moment, I created my confidence and hers was chipped away because I refused to be ignored anymore in a very kind, professional manner. So I was being faced with really ugly situations and I was finally deciding to choose me instead of the situation. Through those interchanges, they were petrifying, scary, awful. I wasn't sleeping well, but I really started to build recreate my confidence and really take it to a new level. And I would recommend to anyone, when you're up against a villain, the faster and sooner you can fire them from your life, the faster and sooner you will take off. Because when that lady fired me that day, she thought she fired me. However, I fired her from my life. And literally within 1 week, amazing people started showing up that never were a part of my life previously. I truly believe that when you're surrounded with negativity, you're blocked off from having those powerful, positive people show up. And people will say to me now, well, you're just lucky you've got a great team of people and you're lucky that everyone's positive. I say, oh, it has not always been like this, my friends. I was surrounded by so much negativity and a toxic environment for years. I ignored it because I was afraid to leave my position. I was afraid of change and I was scared to lose my money. But you know what? There's one thing I could do differently. I would have fired that villain years ago and I would be that much further down the road now, that much more successful. I'd have 8 books done now instead of 1, right? So that's the advice I give everyone. Fire those villains today. Don't wait 1 day longer. And when it's family and people that you can't fire, create those boundaries now. And if someone's giving you disparaging looks and they're a family member, you let them know, I don't appreciate how you look at me. It really doesn't feel good. If we need to have some distance or space right now because you're upset, I'm fine with that. Let's communicate that way. It doesn't have to be an argument. However, I don't like when you look at me, or I don't like when you say that to me. It's really uncomfortable. And I'm going to have to remove myself from the situation until you can rework something that does work. But that's, you know, not all villains fly around on a broom. Some of them are family members. Some are sneaky villains that you think are a good friend, but that when you leave them, you just don't feel so good. So just start paying attention to those people.
Wow, so many good things you just said there. But two things I definitely heard. One is just that routine, that mindset that you have to get yourself into. I love that, because we all have those days where it's like you got to kind of pick yourself off the ground and get going. And once you create that momentum, it's like nothing can stop it. You create that movement and you just keep going and going and going until you decide that you want to stop. But that momentum, sometimes just getting it going, is extremely hard to do. So I love that you shared how you get going. My power color is purple sometimes when I'm trying to get things going. I'm like, I put my royal colors on and I have to feel that around me. And I love that you use essential oils too. I have my diffuser next to me now. I'm like, I have to keep those scents kind of going, but my favorite is lemongrass. But I know that those things are a part of a routine that you have to set yourself up for. But a lot of it also is just in the mind, because if your mind is not where it's supposed to be, nothing else that follows will follow suit if your mind isn't first there and seeing ahead of time what's going to happen. I feel like you probably already knew when you were going into work that day, like, this is the day. If she does it one more time, that's it. So it was that preparation, that kind of just preparing yourself before the opportunity kind of creates that little moment for success. And when we miss that, we miss the opportunity. So a lot of what I do, you guys know that are listening to our show today, that I work with young girls in our community. And so much of what we do is we listen to the stories of women that are just powerhouses now. And I love for them to share their stories, because it's always that story where it's like, I wasn't always like this. I was just like you too, nervous, afraid, you know, worried, concerned, all of these words that we don't want to hear. But in hearing those stories, we're allowed to overcome those situations. So I love that you shared that today. I hope that anybody who is listening, make sure that you all are sharing that with your communities. We work a lot with leaders and servant leaders who take all the information that they receive on our podcast and just on my blog as a whole, and they go back and they serve their community as well. So I hope that you all have your own routine that you're now thinking on, reflecting, and saying, what is it that I do to get myself kind of going? But the second thing that you mentioned, and I'm so like, I just love when things are in alignment. I'm finishing up a book now. It's called A Matter of Choice. So this book is all about girls' personal power, and even young women in college, your personal power. I'm always thinking, what's that like one thing I can share with a young lady that's going to make the decision for them, like the life-changing moment? And it's our ability to make choices. And when you learn how to stand firm in your decision-making, I think that makes the world of difference. In any situation, nothing happens to you in life. You decide to let a lot of things happen. Either you say something or you don't. Either you allow this to happen or you don't. And there, we see a lot of that happening sometimes, especially now with things coming out, like the whole Me Too movement, of so many women who were silent, who were complacent, who said nothing. And it just took like that one person to have the confidence to get up and go, I'm going to tell my story. And it encouraged millions of women around the world to then feel confident enough to share their own stories. So I think that when we make the decision to be great, and we make the decision to just have the confidence to do what needs to be done, so many amazing things can happen. And I was so happy to hear you say, like, I decided that today is the last day, you're fired from my life. And that changed the trajectory of your life. What would have happened had you just sat back and said nothing that day? You'd still be at work. You'd probably be miserable.
Right.
And this woman would be thinking, you know, ha ha ha, I won, which is not what she needed to do at all. And I'm so proud of you for making that decision and just saying, because I'm sure your world is changing and you are going to write 8 books. you will change the trajectory for your child's life, you know? So I'm very proud, and I love to hear when women share stories like that, or just anybody shares a story like that. But especially for us, because we carry our childhood, we carry our upbringing. We take all of those experiences, and I think it kind of builds upon one another, and it creates this foundation for us to firmly stand on it and say, you know what, I'm putting my heel down today, and this is where I'm choosing to charge forward from here. So I was so happy to hear you say that when you said, I made the decision to do it. It's a game changer. So if you are on the fence about things, I think that you have to come to a conclusive decision. Like, today is going to be the final day that I do that. I mean, I left my job. I was teaching. I was fine. I felt like I always wanted to teach my entire life. I had a situation like you, a boss who could care less about me. I would walk in the building with other teachers. And I'm like, hey, good morning, to roll her eyes. The next teacher would be like 2 inches behind me. She says, hey, good morning. Oh, hey, Mrs. So-and-so.
That's terrible.
Said, oh, so you're just not speaking to me in particular. And it's just like you said, it doesn't matter when you are trying to level up yourself, when you're creating a brand, when you're saying, you know what, I have another skill set outside of what I'm doing here at work, and you come to work carrying yourself differently, there's always that one person that's like, I don't like the way you're shining today. It's too much for me. And it's like, I never have understood it, but the blessing is my mother told me about people like this before I left for college. She said, you may remind them of somebody that they know. Your shine just may be too bright for them, but don't ever dull your shine for anybody else. And I remember thinking, like, who's going to do that, until it started happening? And I was like, oh, this is what she was talking about. This is, you know, real life. And we're grown. We're all just here working, trying to make a living for our families. And this happens even when you are in your adult life. I talk to a lot of girls. They're like, I just can't wait to graduate high school. I'm like, oh, honey, it's not going to be over once you graduate high school. It doesn't end there. You're gonna
no.
Keep going. Well, it's cliques and groups and all kind of stuff, even in your adult life. So thank you for sharing that portion of your story. So could you talk to us a little bit more? Like I said, a lot of people who listen to our show are community leaders, business owners, just people who are looking to accelerate to their next level and build up their leadership skill set. So if you are a person who is lacking in this area right now, you talk about confidence creation and being a confidence creator, what advice do you have for them to just, like, where's a good foundational place to start internally, I guess?
Well, internally, I always start with gratitude, because when you shift your mindset from one of scarcity, fear, you physically cannot be in a place of fear and gratitude simultaneously. It can't happen. So that's one way you can retrain the way that you're thinking. And the way I've done that for myself, for my son, is, you know, through gratitude, going to bed at night and just thinking, what am I so grateful for that happened today? What can I appreciate? And can be so small as, it was a beautiful day outside. I saw the sun shining and that made me feel so happy. Or, you know, I have my health. I have a roof over my head. There's an endless amount of things we can be grateful for if we choose to. And this is a discipline, just like going to the gym. So, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, I get behind on the laundry and I just can't catch up and it's too hard. It isn't too hard if you do it every single day, right? Same thing with the gym, same thing with gratitude. If you gain 100 pounds, yeah, it's hard to get back to the gym. I bet it's going to be terrible. But if you do it, if you are a disciplined person, and it's not easy to be disciplined, it's a commitment and a decision. And I find, you know, when I have conversations with, well, that's easy for you. No, it's not easy for me. I am busy. I am exhausted, just like you. And you know what? I make a choice every night. And the reason why I do it is I see the benefit and the outcome because I've lived it. So I remind myself, hey, you want to go to bed right now and you do not feel like sitting down and writing in a journal or taking notes or reminding yourself this or that. But I know if I don't do it, I could start slipping behind and lose this discipline, and I'm really committed to it. So I really try to do a daily practice. Some days I might miss, but it's, you know, overall, I stay on top of it because it helps to shift my mindset and stay positive and be grateful, which allows the fears to slip away. And the more positive that you are, the more you bring positive people towards you, positive opportunity, the more you start stepping into the real authentic version of yourself, whether it's that you're quirky and you tell funny jokes, or that you believe with conviction that you should be running your own company and it's purpose-driven and you're going after it and nothing will get in your way. Whatever it is, when you own it and put it out there to the universe and claim it, wonderful things will start happening if it is your true intention, your true authenticity. I've lived this in, you know, it's back in corporate America, I did well, but it was a constant fight, a constant battle. now as an entrepreneur, it's scary. I'm not going to trick anyone about this. It's really hard. It's like an EKG machine. Some days are going amazing. The next day I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this didn't come together, that it was supposed to work out. And what am I going to do next? So it's very different than corporate America, but these amazing opportunities have come to me that I really know are because I'm following my passion, I'm being the authentic me, and I'm putting out to the universe what I'm really supposed to be doing. And the universe is rising up and meeting me with opportunities I can't believe. And here's a great example, just so people understand. I was never the smart one growing up. I was never the intellectual one. I was the social one, the athlete, the salesperson. And I allowed myself to be put in that lane. What I've learned is, we don't need to be put into lanes. We can be ourselves wherever we choose to be. I didn't know that before I was writing a book, right? So that was one of my fear moments is, oh my gosh, can I really write a book? I'm the sales one. I'm not the literary person. Is it even legal for me to be an author? I had no idea. You know, did you have to pass some test? I had no clue. And I really researched a ton to understand, do people just write books out of nowhere, and what makes it successful? And I figured out, if these other people have done it, I guess I can do it. You know, I'm just going to Google it, give it a shot. And I did. Now, moving through all that, it was very, very scary. However, having done it now, I've started leaning into more things I feel afraid of. What I've learned is fear actually means, I believe we were taught incorrectly as children, fear means go and go faster because you're going to get to your passion. So now when I start getting scared, I say, I'm onto something. I better get onto this fast. And so I had not been posting much video on LinkedIn. This is back in December. And a friend of mine who posts a lot said, hey, you would do so much better on your LinkedIn feed if you would do video. And I said, I don't have a video team. I don't have strong lighting. The walls in my home are not white. I don't have anywhere to shoot. I gave 1,800 answers as to why I can't do it. And he laughed at me and he said, all you just did was make up a bunch of excuses. Why don't you just use your phone? And he called me out on it, right? And I said, well, I don't know. I've got to think about it. And he just kind of laughed at me. So I went home that day and I thought, I'm making excuses. So I think the first video post I did was I just took this out and said, well, I've been challenged to do a video. And that post went viral compared to what my other things did, because video really plays so well on LinkedIn. And so I learned a great lesson there, that even though I think I'm such a risk taker now, I'm still not, you know, I'm still holding myself back with my own excuses. And it's helpful to have people like that who are stretched beyond me, tap me and remind me, you know, and at that point you can say, all right, this is funny. I just need to do it. So anyways, he challenged me to start utilizing video, which I did. I started reaching a much broader audience. And as you know, when that happens, you're going to reach more haters, right? Because you're reaching more people. So I've learned to see that as like a success moment. When I start getting haters commenting nasty things on my feed, I'm like, okay, great. I'm finally reaching enough people that it's not just my closest friends, you know? So this is wonderful. I'm getting a larger reach and I can reach new audiences. I'm so excited. And I know I'm not for everybody, because I am really unique and different. That makes me excited too. So I'm happy about that. I'm feeling good about it. And all of a sudden I get a DM from a Harvard professor. And I immediately Googled the guy, thinking I'm getting punked. You know, this guy is not for real. Why would Harvard want, I couldn't get into Harvard. Are you kidding me? And no, it was real. And the funny thing is, the reason why he DM'd me is he saw one of my LinkedIn videos. It was reaching so many people. One of his friends that was in a subset circle of mine shared it on his feed, and the Harvard professor saw it. I didn't know any Harvard professors. So he went back to my LinkedIn page, saw my work history and expertise in sales, and he DM'd me, Heather, I loved your video that you created. I would love it if you could bring your expertise to my class and teach my students. Oh. Would you like to be a guest teacher, professor at Harvard? And that was one of those, oh my gosh, moments. You have to be kidding me. This is really happening, because I'm not qualified to teach at Harvard and I couldn't get into Harvard. And what are you talking about? But through all of this, I've learned, if I just show up, that's 90% of the battle. Because yes, Someone's inviting you to do something because they like you. And while you might not see the value, I did learn it. After teaching the class at Harvard, I learned, He's a 60-year-old white man. He has not dealt with much adversity in sales and sales leadership when he was in corporate America. So he was teaching a lot about white papers, research, which is great, but that's not all there is. He brought me in to talk about some of the adversity you're going to face, how social media can affect business, and what it's like being a woman in business. So a lot of complexity that he didn't have knowledge on. So as I was there and I was understanding it, I thought, I should be teaching at Harvard. I should be here, right? You know, it made, suddenly just being there made me realize why I was there. But it took me going to understand that. I didn't understand it that day that I got the DM.
Wow. And sometimes we're a victim of our own thinking, where we think, I'm not qualified. Your calling qualifies you. It is just, it's the only qualifier that you need. And sometimes just walking in that, saying yes, showing up, like you said, all the qualification that you need. And that's amazing that you got to participate in that opportunity. I'm sure many more colleges are going to call you out because that's a relevant conversation. And I think sometimes we, as adults, just get to this place where we are afraid to dream big. And that scares us. It's like, oh, I can't go there. I can't go to Harvard. What am I going to do? You know, who wants to listen to me? But it's that feeling of, you know, something that somebody else doesn't know. That is all the qualification that you need. And that's why I'm just like, I'm really passionate about teaching and learning. And I'm a firm believer that everybody has something to teach, whether it's what not to do, whether it's don't go this path, even if you're a person that feels like you've made 1,000 mistakes, nobody will ever listen to you. That's your story. And that's something that somebody still needs to know. Sometimes you don't always need to know what to do. Sometimes you need assistance on, don't waste your time doing this. It's yes. going to be a big time waster. So I'm glad that you got that opportunity. And I'm so grateful. I told Heather, I was watching when I get these moments to just take my hat off and be Regina and just relax some days. I was watching Home and Family and I got to see her segment all about this confidence creator book. And I was just like, so grateful to have come across it because I just love, I think your story and your calling and your purpose is just so much in alignment with what I hope to share on a much larger platform. Because I think that we don't give ourselves the benefit of the doubt sometimes. And we do doubt. We only have one life to live. It's like, just go all out. Just do the very best you can. The worst thing that you can do is fail. And what if you just succeed and take off? I mean, that's the risk that you want to take in life, if you're going to take any risk at all. Take a risk.
But Regina, you know, the reality is that people will say, well, that's easy for you to say, but not for me, because I have debt, because I'm a single mom. Everyone will have their own list of challenges. Why? And I've been there. I know you've been there. We've all been in challenging. I mean, you have 6 children, right? So I'm a single mother with 1, and I think it can be hard. I can't imagine what it's like with 6. So it doesn't matter what your situation. What it does matter is your determination, your conviction, your faith, your belief, and just your owning whatever that dream is and making the decision. Nothing will get in your way, because when you truly make that decision, nothing will. Like you said, you may fall down, you'll get back up. You'll fall down again. You will figure it out. You just have to have that conviction and never back down.
Love it, Heather. Heather, tell everybody how they can get a copy of your book, what you have coming up, how they can just get more of this from you.
Sure. So my website, heathermonahan.com, I've got a blog on there. I've got a free 30-day How to Create Confidence ebook everyone can download for free on my website, heathermonahan.com. My book, Confidence Creator, is on Amazon. I narrate the Audible version. I get really amazing feedback on the Audible. But you can check out my reviews at Amazon.com. Just type in Confidence Creator. I've got a hardback, a paperback, a Kindle version, which is $6.99, and again, the Audible. And then I just launched an online course, which is Confidence Creator 101. You can find that through my website as well. And that's really, I've gotten a lot of messages, people saying, what's the next step now that I read the book? I created the course around what people were telling me they wanted. And really, it's that next level. I have videos on how I did it and how you can do it. I have worksheets on, you know, listing out the different things that, and commitments that you need to do, and how to move through when you get stuck, how to create, you know, that right goal and set a timeline, and how to hold yourself accountable. I really go through a step-by-step arduous process to make sure that when someone's finished that program, that they're going to be able to achieve their goals and create their confidence.
Excellent. So you heard her. Go on and visit her website. Get your hands on all of those confidence tools. We are only as strong as the toolbox so that we can easily access the things that we need when we need them. So even if you feel like, you know, I'm pretty confident, I don't need that now. If you don't know what circumstances can occur in life that can take a little chip at who you are, and you'll already have her book and all of the wonderful courses and tools that she has available for you right there in your toolbox to easily access. Thank you so much, Heather. I've enjoyed our conversation today. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, and good luck to you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.